Now, I want you to know, God does things, miraculous things, healings, deliverances, blessings, all these things come our way at times. And it just comes because God is good and God loves us. But there is a way to have victory in our life, in every area of our life. And God has shown us in his scriptures how to do that. But it's like everything else. God can tell us something and we don't obey it, or we don't pay attention to it, or we just ignore it, or we think we're smarter than God. Then we'll just continue to do the things the way we want to do it without even consideration. And then when things don't go the way we hoped they would go, then all of a sudden, well, it must not work. Yes, it does. It's just that we haven't been doing what God called us to do. Question we have is this. Is there a way to have victory every single day and keep the enemy at bay? See, not everybody's sure of that. See, everybody gives him too much power by accepting the fact that, oh, well, you know, we live in this world and everything's bad around. It doesn't matter about that. When Job was in this world, it says the enemy couldn't get to him without God's permission. So how many believe today that God would give permission for the enemy to get to your life? Good, good. Praise God. I'm glad you don't believe that. Because it's not true. God will not do that today. There's a difference between when Job was being tested and when Peter was being sifted. Something happened after that that causes us to be able to be in a position of life where the enemy can't get to us. Yeehaw! Amen? I'm serious about this. But it takes something. Let's look and go with me in Revelation 12, if you would. Amen? We sang about it this morning. The last song. Thank you, Lord. Let's start in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before the God day and night, has been cast down." All right, so back up just a second. He said, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come." Let me ask you a question. Could Satan get to Jesus? He tried many times, but he could not get to him. Jesus laid down his own life. Paul said this. He said, "I'm betwixt and between. I don't know whether to go home to be with the Lord or stay here for you." Paul was trying to make a decision on what to do. You mean it's Paul's decision? Because remember, he came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Paul was making a decision whether to go home. It wasn't Satan that took him home. Paul made that decision on his own. Matter of fact, he said one time, he said, "I turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh." That means Paul had the power of prayer to keep him, Satan, from this guy. But now he took him and he said, "Okay, I'm going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so his soul may be saved." He was in the process of losing his very eternal soul. So Paul said, better he die now than spend eternity in hell. Amen? So let's look at this. Now, what happened here? Let me go back up. Then I heard a loud voice saying, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come." That means salvation has come to the church. Strength has come to the church. The kingdom of our God has come to the church. And the power of his Christ has come to the church. You got all that going on in your life right now. But if you don't know, If the power goes out and you got a generator outside and you don't know how to start the generator and you just ignore the fact the generator is there, guess what? You're going to be without power. Mm-hmm. If you don't know you've got power here on earth, I'm going to show you a scripture in a few minutes. If you don't know you have that, if you don't know that you have the kingdom of God dwelling in you, if you don't know that you have salvation, if you don't know these things, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Oh, I know that. I know all that. Yeah, but then why is it the enemy is constantly at your door? Knocking, and you constantly open the door to him. How do I know? Because I listen. I watch. I see. I know. Because if you're a child of God, if you have the power of God, if you have the kingdom of God, you have the salvation of God, you wouldn't allow these things to come into your life. What do you mean, me allow them? It's not God who's doing it. Come on, and the Satan has been defeated. He has no power. God, through Christ, disarmed Satan. All the power is taken away from him. Accept his power to influence the lives of people, especially in the church. One thing Satan does not want to do is to be exposed. He wants to stay hidden. He will set up landmines. He will set up little traps. He'll set up little things that cause you to be tempted to, oh, look at that, oh, that looks so good. And you'll go after it. And you'll think, oh, there's nothing wrong. God doesn't care if I do that. God doesn't see that. And he said just one little word. Surely you shall not die. Oh, this won't affect. Just one time. It won't hurt you. Then he's got you. Well, you mean I got to be afraid? No, you're not afraid. You're gaining knowledge. You're gaining power. The more knowledge you've got of the truth of the gospel, of what Christ did for you and in you and will do through you, will stop him before he even comes close to you. Matter of fact, he'll fear and run from you. He will. But you have to know. Without knowledge, my people perish. If you don't understand what really is going on, we look out there, well, we don't see the devil anywhere. Just look at the lives of the people. Look at the lives of the church people and the misery they're under. And they're all on medications, and we're all on this, and we're all on that. And where all these things are going on, and we're just sitting there saying, well, that's just the way of life. No, it isn't. That's the world's way of life, but God's way of life is totally different. The kingdom of God is a total different lifestyle. If it isn't, no, why are we going to heaven? But we can have heaven here on earth. And when we're operating out of the kingdom of God, Satan cannot get close to you. He can tempt you to come out from under, but he can't force you. Hallelujah. How are we doing so far? All right, let's go down one more scripture. Hallelujah. And they overcame him, who? Satan. Who overcame them? We know who. The church. The church overcame him. Let me ask you a question. Have you overcome him? Come on now. Come on now. Have you overcome him? Look at your life. Have you overcome him? You know, it's one thing to say yes. It's another thing to say yes, I can prove it. Look at my life. Hallelujah. But before we're done, you will all say 100%, I have overcome. Because I know why I've overcome. It's not because I think so up here, because that's what I'm expected to say. I have proof of it right here. Amen. I have proof. You got to have proof. When you go to court, have proof. Amen. You go to court, have proof. Now listen to what he says here. Hallelujah. Back up. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to death. Did they overcome? Amen? If I said to you, and now you know the answer, how do you overcome him? That word overcome, I looked that up. It says this. It says to conquer. Listen, to carry off the victory. To carry off the victory. Not just say I've got victory, but actually live and carry it off. In other words, do it. I'm living a life of victory over Satan in all of his works. All of his works. I can overcome. I can carry this off to victory. Yeah, I see what he's doing, but guess what? I can carry this off to victory. Why? Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony. And I don't count my life for nothing. It's the Christ in me. I now operate with the Christ. I'm operating out of the Christ in me. I'm operating out of the kingdom of God. Satan can't get into the kingdom of God. Satan can't get near Christ. So if I stay in Christ, Satan can't get near me. How do I stay in Christ? By the blood of the Lamb. I make sure. I understand that the blood was more than just, yes, don't get me wrong, the song was good, the love flowed down, red, yes, 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 but there's more to that. The blood of Jesus Christ is the power of God to keep you free from Satan and his works. That's an amazing statement. I told you before, I've said it before. If the blood of animals keep you in right position with God, what can the blood of Jesus Christ do? Yeah, but you know, that just, he saved me, but look, yeah, I want you to go through, we're going to go through a number of things what the blood does. Amen? A number of things what the blood does you might not have thought about. But this is the blood of Jesus Christ I'm talking about here. In Leviticus, I believe it's Leviticus, it says the blood, or the life is in the blood. Think about that. The life is in the blood. So the life of Christ that we so desire, now why do we desire the life of Christ? Because it is an overcoming life. It's a victorious life. Not just when we get to heaven, but here on earth. Ooh, victory. You mean I can have victory over every situation in my life? Every situation. But how often do we think about talking about the blood? How often do we think about applying the blood to situations in our lives? How often do we think to take that blood and cleanse away all the garbage that the Satan has brought towards us? I'm telling you, it's powerful. We can overcome him. That means we carry off the victory. We're going to have the victory because of what Christ did at the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ that's still activated today. It didn't just save you. It did so much more. It didn't just cleanse you. It did so much more. According to Scripture. Let me read something I said here. This is mine. I believe it is Satan's plan to first cause us to question or doubt the plan of salvation and the true power of the shed blood of Christ that was released at Calvary. And by doing so, lessen the power of your testimony, thereby reducing the effectiveness of it to non-believers. Let me say that again. I believe it's Satan's plan to first cause us to question or doubt the plan of salvation and the true power of the shed blood of Christ that was released at Calvary. And by doing so, lessen the power of your testimony. Let me ask you a question. You go out, you spend $30,000, $40,000 for a new car. Bright, shiny car. With all the bells and whistles, all the things you want on it, everything you ever thought would be cool, you got on it. Then you come to church. How many of us go in and start testifying of how great our car is? It's shiny. It does all this stuff. It'll do this and that. Oh, yeah, it's so great. Look at all this. How often do we come in and say, you know what the blood of Jesus did for me this week? I don't get testimony about the blood. But the blood is still activated today. When Abel was killed by his brother, in Genesis 4, I think it is, God said to Cain, he said, Cain, where's your brother? Cain says, who am I? I'm not my brother's keeper. I don't know where he is. God says, but Cain, Abel's blood cries out from me from the earth. You want to know the power of blood? It cried out to God, and God heard it. What do you think happened when Jesus shed his blood? You think it was silent? Oh, no, 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 no. The one thing Satan feared the most, that the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ would be shed for the remission of sin. And it cries out today. It speaks to God the Father today. The blood of his Son is still speaking to his Father. And his Father hears. When we stand, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stay here right now. Glory to God. I don't want to get too far ahead. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 says this. Well, hold on. Let's go down. Let's look at what the blood can do for us and has done for us and is doing for us. Number one, it brings a place where we can be saved. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Ephesians 1, 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The power of the blood of Christ was able to take you out of the clutches of Satan, out of the kingdom of darkness, and bring you into the kingdom of light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the blood was able to wash away all our sins. Think about it. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, the blood of Jesus Christ is still activated to wash away and cleanse it. To remove it as far from you as the east is from the west. To throw it all the way into the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, God again will never remember, because of the blood of Jesus, the sins you've committed. That's awesome. That's the most awesome thing you can think of. When everybody else reminds you, and trust me when I tell you this, Satan will come along, bring somebody along with him. Say, I want you to go over there and remind them of what they were and what they did. I want you to go tell them. And so they, yes, sir, Satan, well, I'll go over and tell them, you know what? I remember you when you did this, and I remember you when you did that, and I saw you do that, and I know you did this, and you're no good over here. And all you have to do is say, yeah, I was, I did, but the blood of Jesus has washed that all away. Amen. 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 You can remember it all you want. You can remind me all you want, but I'm reminded of the blood of Jesus, who have cleansed me of all unrighteousness. And I am now walking in a different light. I was dark, but now I can see. Come on now. Glory to God. My God. Only God could do that. No man can do that. No man can wash away the stain of remembering all the things you've done. And that includes yesterday. Except the blood of Jesus. Except the blood of Jesus. If I sin the next second, God will forgive me. If I confess it to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive me, and the blood is still washing away and cleansing it. Oh, that gives me a right to sin. No, that makes give me the power over sin.
Amen.
That gives me the power over sin. I don't have to worry about you anymore. Sin is something the Bible says in Psalms, I think it was, or I could probably be wrong, but He said sin is always at the door, trying to get in. But see, the thing is, the blood of Jesus Christ is slippery. And every time He tries to step through the threshold of my door, He just slides right back out again. Amen. The blood keeps that sin from ever entering in. Now, He may get me once in a while. He may tempt me and I fall. But you know what? He can't hold on to me. I'm slippery. I'm covered in the blood. I slip right out of His grasp. Oh, I got Him now. No, you don't. I'm washed in the blood. Come on now. We don't have to worry about that. Why? Because we got the blood. And because we're washed in the blood, because we are saved, it brings something else. Go Colossians 1:20. And by Him, meaning Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth... You know what? I thank God this is a work of Jesus and not me. One thing I know about Jesus, He never fails. I know about Jesus, He never quits. He never gets tired, He never gets frustrated, He never gets upset. See, this is by Him, through Him, with Him. All these things are going on. Listen to what He says. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, where are we? On earth. We're not in heaven yet. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. In other words, what the blood does is bring a peace to us. A peace between us and the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to bring something to you, and I've got to find out where I can bring it. Oh, it's a ways yet, I guess. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. Huh? Yeah, I got that on the computer, right? Still on there? Huh? Okay. It's not a video, so. What we have is a peace in our heart. What peace does, it eliminates all doubt and all fear. It says when Jesus was walking on the water, they saw Him coming. And when they saw Him coming, they first of all became afraid, because the story was if a fisherman saw a spirit on the water, that it meant that it was coming to tell them. It was an old fisherman that had died, and it was coming to tell them that their ship was going down or their boat was going to sink. So they feared when they saw Jesus walking on the water. And that's why Jesus said, "Fear not, it's I." And so Peter said, "If it's you," see, he's not sure yet. He said, "No, you never seen a man walking on water before. Are you sure that's you?" "Yeah, that's me. Come on out." But if before that, and I missed that part, but if you go back a ways, you say that they said that the boat was going across the lake and the wind was contrary. That means it was windy and it was rough out there already, right? And so when he got out of the boat, it says he walked on the water. He's walking on the water that was contrary. It was already wavy. It was already, the wind was blowing. It wasn't a nice, smooth, glassy lake. Right? He got out of the water. And then it says as he's walking along, all of a sudden it became what? Boisterous. What's boisterous mean? Very loud. Something boisterous, loud, right? In other words, the devil comes like a roaring lion. Immediately what happened? He started to sink. Why? Because he started listening to the voice of the devil instead of the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come." Amen? When we allow these things to happen to us, and you will get a storm, he's always going to keep trying. He will never give up. Recognize this. It's not of God. And it's not me, because that's not who I am. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I'm now a man of peace, of joy, of happiness. So where's that noise coming from? When it gets loud like that, just plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace comes. Peace comes. Peter didn't have the blood at that time. We do. Now you can get out of the boat. Now you can walk in the water. And no matter how bad it sounds, no matter how bad it looks, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The devil can't get to me. Satan can't get to me. That noise isn't going to affect me. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what this one said. I don't care what that one said. I'm washed in the blood. I got peace. I got peace. It comes from the knowledge of what Christ did for me at Calvary. And I'm still covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Peace. Glory to God. Next thing, go to Zechariah 9:11. Zechariah 9:11. Hallelujah. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. What is it? He said that because of the blood, you'll be delivered out of the clutches of the enemy. You will be delivered because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not maybe, not hopefully, but it'll happen. And it will work, and it will do. When the nation of Israel was held captive by the Egyptians, God said and instituted a holy day, the day of Passover. His instructions to the people were, through Moses, take a lamb, a spotless lamb. Take it into your house. And listen to this. He said, I want you to take it into your house 4 days before this comes to pass. Why? That lamb became a pet and part of the house of the Israelite. Became part of the family. He then told them to sacrifice the lamb. Take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorposts of their house. And they put it over this one, and over the lintel. Kind of looks like a cross. And as the angel of death passed through that city, through that place where they were at, it says that the angel of death passed over every house that had the blood of the lamb over it. They were delivered out of the hand of the angel of death. Those who have the blood of the lamb of Jesus Christ over the lintel of their hearts, over their lives, will be set free from death. You'll never die. Your physical body will cease to function. But the one who you are, the spirit who you are, will be set free to enjoy the blessings and the very presence of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. Before you came to Christ, before you were washed in the blood, before the blood was set over the heart, you were held captive. You might not have known that. Not known it until the day that you got set free. Until the day that you were delivered, all of a sudden you recognized there's something happened. I don't know what it was. I can't understand what it was. But what happened was the blood of Jesus Christ covered your heart and removed that heart of stone and brought in a heart of flesh. And the Spirit of Christ came to dwell within. And it could not have come. He could not have come. He could not have come without first the cleansing blood of Christ cleansing you. Until he went to the cross and shed his blood, the Holy Spirit didn't come. But he came. He came to a place that was washed from all unrighteousness, all sin. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit because he is holy. And he came to live and dwell within you because of the blood of Jesus Christ that removed everything that separated you from God, which was your sin. And the power of Satan over your life. You know the position you're in? You've been delivered out of death and you've been brought into life. You've been delivered out of sickness into health. You've been delivered out of poverty into riches. There isn't a thing. Because if you look at Satan's work, every bit of it promises you life and gives you death. Amen. Every one of it. But the life is in the blood. The life that's in you, the blood of Jesus Christ in you, delivers you from the power of death and destruction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I got some here. I'm looking for the one I want. Praise God. Okay. Look at this. Hebrews 10:19. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need. We are able to come into the presence of God. We are able to come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When you walk through that gate, and that's where you get your needs met. The greatest need mankind has, ready? It's not money. The greatest need mankind has, and I'm like, yeah, okay, both. It's the forgiveness and removal of sin. That's the greatest thing you have. That's the one thing that separates you from God the Father. And all the blessings that come out of his life, out of his throne of grace and mercy, is sin. The Bible says this, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. We don't glorify sin, but we recognize the truth of it. Amen? Amen. So we don't want to be caught unawares. We can't be foolish to say, you know, well, Satan can't get to me because I've been washed in the blood. Yes. Did you sin yesterday? Did you confess your sin? Did you plead the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all unrighteousness? I have come to the conclusion, and I do this every day. I get up, the first thing I do, take communion. Every day. Every day. First thing I do, 5 o'clock in the morning, usually it's around there, I take communion. Why? Because I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I know somehow, some way, I missed the mark yesterday. I want to start out the new day a new way, a fresh way. I'm not carrying the burdens of yesterday onto the day. I want to make sure I've dealt with them. Well, usually I confess it as soon as I do it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But what if I didn't? What if some small thing that might have done something that I shouldn't have said or done or thought All those things open the door to the enemy. Isn't God going to condemn me? Because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But the enemy has a good way of getting to you. When you think all things are well, be aware. Amen? Yes, there, the other day, I guess this is as good as any. I was sitting there and this song kept coming to me. And I'm going, what in the world? I haven't thought of this song in so many years. You know, I'm the type, I can hear a song, something I like, and I'll know it, but I don't know who did it. I don't know when it was done. I just know, yeah, I like that. I remember. And I usually like the beat of it, not even the words. I didn't even pay attention so much to the words. But this song, all of a sudden, just started coming to me. And that's why I'm preparing these messages on. And I said, what is going on? I said, I don't even know where that comes from. So I went on the computer. I love that computer at times. Really, at times it's great. So I started looking it up, and I typed in what's coming to me. Oh, wow, look at this. Wow, I can't believe it. Anyways, and you guys are going to know it, because I'm going to play it. Well, we're going to have it played. We're not going to put it up on screen. We'll just this song. And I'm going to tell you, it's coming out of the 60s, I think. All right? So don't get all uptight about it. Oh, we're in church. How can you do it? Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I want to make a statement with it. I want you to see something. Because I believe what it is I really believe the Lord is wanting to show me something to get ready for something. Amen? So go ahead. Play this. It's only probably a couple minutes, maybe. Yes. You'll know it. You'll know it when you hear it. No. What is that? I understand. Don't worry about it. Just turn it down until it gets through the advertisement, please. Only Tylenol. Wait a minute. I thought the blood of Jesus could do it. No, Tylenol. No. Yeah. Remember that? Tell how old this group is. Listen. Get ready, here I come. You know who sang that? The Temptations. The Temptations. When I looked it up. Get ready, here I come. That was what was coming to me. Get ready, here I come. By the Temptations. How does the enemy... Come on!
Wow, I just got it.
I'm telling you, it blew me away when I'm looking at this. And I said, where's... Because come on, now, I haven't thought of this song. I don't listen to rock music or that kind of music anymore. I still like it, don't get me wrong. My flesh still likes it. But I was listening to it, and I'm going, all I was getting was, get ready, here I come. What? Get ready, here I come. So I go on the internet. I said, what is this? I look it up and it says, by the Temptations. I said, well, I'll be. God, I thought, was teaching me and telling me, get ready because temptation's coming your way. I can say it to all of you. Get ready because temptation's coming. It is. But God will deliver you out of all of it. He'll make a way for you to escape. How do you do that? Plead the blood. Don't wait to get into it. Don't wait to accept it. When the thoughts start coming your way, plead the blood over your mind, over your thoughts. Let God deal with it. Let God deal with it. If you just try to deal with it on your own, you're going to fall. But once you start applying the blood of Jesus Christ over those thoughts, those fiery arrows coming at you, hallelujah. Amen. So in order to have that access into God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next one. The animal blood dealt with outward flesh. Jesus' blood also dealt with the inward struggle of the conscience. Hebrews 9:14 says this. Hallelujah. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Jesus Christ will remove all those thoughts, all that deep hidden things that have us always struggling back and forth, either following the light or following the darkness. A conscience that says, you know, no matter how hard I try, I fail. Or no matter what I do, it doesn't seem to work out. Maybe it's thoughts of past experiences. Maybe it's thoughts of things you've done in the past that always seems to pop up. As soon as you start moving forward with God or you start getting some victories in life, all of a sudden these things pop up. They remind you of your failures. They remind you of things that you've failed to do before, and you said, well, you started this so many times and you continue to fall backwards. It says the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all those dead thoughts, so dead conscience, the dead works. Don't let them get to you. I mean, the devil's a liar. Amen? He's not going to tell you who you are. He's going to remind you who you were. And he'll constantly bring it up. And you'll always seem, well, gee, it didn't work before. And here's the other part of it. Don't look at, and I've said this 1,000 times, I'm going to say it 1,000 times more if I can remember. Don't look at other people. Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at the things around you and say, well, it didn't work, and it's not working. No, get rid of those. Get rid of them. That leads you into this next one. Did I give you a scripture for that? Yeah, okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Is it okay to say,
the question was, can you say, I'm glad I'm not like that if you see people doing certain things?
I'm glad I'm not like that anymore.
Anymore, okay. I would say yes to that with a caveat if you give the glory to God from it. Yeah. Because you've been washed in the blood. I've been transformed into the image of Christ. I am not that anymore. Because there's things in here, don't get me wrong, there's things in here that this person over here can say, I'm glad I'm not like that anymore. Because you haven't got to the point yet in some area. So we can't look at one another and say, I'm glad I'm not like that. Because we don't know where each person is in their walk with God, where they have grown or not grown, or for whatever reason they've been hindered from growth. It could be flesh, it could be circumstances of life, whatever. We don't know. So to look at one another in the church, but to look at the world, yeah, yep. But praise God, Father, you delivered me out of that. Amen. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that that gives glory to God. Now, don't go tell the people. I remember, and I think I told you this story. I can remember exactly where it was. I was inside this building. We were working in GE in Waterford. And they were, you know, I was working as a carpenter, and there was other guys around me, and we were all doing something. I think we were on break at that moment. And they were telling jokes, bad jokes, you know. And then I walked in, and they go, oh, stop, pastor. This, I wasn't a pastor then. He said, the reverend's here, you know, making joke of me and all this, you know, because they knew who I was. And I just said to him, I said, guys, don't change for me. You know, it's fine. You're not going to affect me. I'm hoping I can affect you. You're not going to affect me by what you do. I'm not going to change because of what you do. So don't worry about what you're doing. I just hope that somehow my life can change your life by the grace of God. So, yeah, the world's going to be the way it's going to be. And to ourselves, we can thank you, Jesus, you delivered me out of that. I look at people and, you know, who drink or or they're still smoking. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you delivered me out of that. I don't blame them for what they're doing, because I was there. I was as good as them. Matter of fact, I was better than most of them at doing those things. You know, I was a better drinker than them. I drank more than they did. I drank, smoked more than they did. But God delivered me out of all of that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But I don't condemn them for what they're doing. That's between them and God. My responsibility is to bring the truth to them, love them, pray for them, but not condemn them. Amen? And you're right. Yes, you can. You can be grateful to God. Wednesday night we're doing and I'm off subject a little bit. Please give me a little grace here. And what we're starting to do is spend time hearing the voice of God. It was awesome. I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 people, and everybody, you know, I had them write down what God was speaking to them after this short period we were spending time listening. And it was all the same. Almost all of it was on love, God's love. You know, God speaks to us constantly. God wants you to, and what I said, and I really believe it was from God, He said, God finds such pleasure in the fact when you seek Him. Do you know that? I want you to know that. When you give Him glory, like, thank you, Jesus, for you delivered me out of it. When you give Him glory, or you seek Him with all your heart, I mean, you're really chasing after Him. Not because you have to, because something's going on. You just want to know Him. You just want to hear His voice. You just want to get close to Him. It pleases God to no end. It brings a joy to His heart that just fills the universe with love. I remember somebody was saying the other day, and they were talking about heaven. Do you know, nothing can affect heaven. Nothing can affect heaven more than one person getting saved. It says that the whole of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to the Lord. Nothing else makes that happen. Do you see the power of love that God is in? The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? No. Every time you give thanks to Jesus, every time you give glory to Him for what He's done in your life, it opens up the windows of heaven and God is shouting, yes, 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 because it goes against the spirit of darkness. It's a point of light, taking a sword of the Spirit and stabbing Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Go into John, 1 John 1:7. Hallelujah. In 1 John 1:7 it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the blood provides the promise of a new day, and it keeps on working. Every time you partake of this, He said, do it in remembrance of Me. Every time you partake of the cup of the blood of Jesus Christ, it begins a new day, a new moment in time. It's not just something we do. What does He want us to remember? Remember what the blood did. Remember what the blood did. Don't just remember Jesus in that, but the sacrifice of the cross at Calvary, when the blood was shed and flowed like a river of life right out of the cross, right down, and touched each and every one of us and bought life. Remember that. Every time you take communion and you do it in remembrance of Him and the blood of Jesus Christ, you just remember right then, the blood of Jesus is at work cleansing you of all unrighteousness. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that can happen any time. When you feel away from God, take communion. When you feel like you haven't done anything with God lately, just take communion. You'll be surprised what it'll do for you. You'll be surprised. Amen? Now let's look at this. Exodus 12:13. Hallelujah. The blood provides protection. We just talked about that. Exodus 12, 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague should not be on beyond you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. We can see it. When that little lamb was bought in and shed and put over the doorpost, I'm going to tell you what it showed me. When I was looking at that and praying about it and meditating on it, the Lord says, you've got to bring Jesus into your house and become part of the family. Jesus isn't just about here. You want to add your protection around your home? Make sure Jesus is welcome there. Make sure the blood that he shed is applied over there. Oh, we can't do it. This one don't matter. You can do it without anybody else knowing it. You can do it. When that comes in, all of a sudden, what's going to happen? There's going to be turmoil. Oh, devil's going to be at the door lock, yelling, let me in, let me in. The blood is saying, stay out, stay out. And all of a sudden, inside there's peace. Outside there's a war. Now all of a sudden, you like being at home. You like your home again. Because it's a place of peace, tranquility, protection. You can shut the world off in your home. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off the computer. Turn off the phone. Whatever. Turn it off. Take a moment. Stop. Say, this is it. No more. I got to stop. Even for a minute. Even for 5 minutes. And put your focus on the blood of Jesus Christ. Focus on him. For 5 minutes, watch what happens. Amen? Hallelujah. There's also healing in the blood. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. What's he saying? When he went to the cross and when he was beaten, when he was scourged, guess what? He shed blood. And that blood was on the cross. I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, is that blood now in heaven? Because I remember a long time ago, I said to the Lord, somebody asked me the question. Well, I don't know if I asked the question first and then somebody else asked me afterwards, but either way, I said, Lord, what stops rebellion again in heaven? Because it was rebellion. What stops it? And he didn't say anything right away, and I waited and waited and waited, and, you know, after a while, I don't know how long it was, but he showed me, he said, the blood is here. The blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't there before. And the blood stops the enemy. In Hebrews 9, you're going to go read it, we're not going to go into it, he talks about the blood of Jesus Christ coming into the presence. Jesus presented his blood to the Father as a sacrifice. He took it and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven, because there is a mercy seat in heaven. When they created the first temple down here, it says they took the exact duplicate of what's in heaven and put it down there. There's a laver for the blood up there, where his blood is now still there. And every time the enemy comes to you, every time he gets before God and he starts accusing you of something that happened, every time, Jesus stands up and says, Father, they're washed in my blood. Every time the accuser comes to you, say to him, I'm washed in his blood. I was reminded when on the way in I was praying, and he reminded me of a movie that I like, but you probably won't understand it. I understand this. I saw the movie. I liked the movie, but I saw it not on the original way it was. The language was very, very cleaned up. And I, when I first started hearing it on the regular, I went, are you kidding? None of that was in there. But it was Cousin Vinny. Amen. And so I was watching it. And I was coming in, I was praying about the message this morning, and he says, when in heaven, see, there's two people. There's Jesus, who's our advocate or lawyer. And we have the accuser, who is the district attorney. I hate to put him in that position, but let's do that, just for the sake of it. Or two lawyers. One, the accuser. One, the advocate, who's Jesus. And then we have the accuser, Satan. So on the way in, I was praying about coming in. And he said, it's just like this. If you remember the moment when they were sitting at the table and they first came in, they had a lawyer who was not a good lawyer sitting there, who was up for the one guy. Remember that? I don't know if you remember, if you've seen it. Then there was the lawyer who was Vinny for the other guy. Well, this over here was just, anyways, this is what happened. After Vinny said some things, the kid over here had the other lawyer, stood up, and he pointed, he said, I choose him. And God said to me, who do you choose for your advocate? Here's what he said. He said, do not defend yourself, because the worst, stupidest lawyer in the world defends himself. Am I right or wrong? They say that's the worst lawyer you get, defending yourself. Don't you stand up and defend yourself. Jesus will do it. All you have to do is plead the blood. Once you plead the blood, Jesus stands up and starts declaring, righteous, righteous, righteous. You understand that? Don't you try to defend yourself. When the enemy comes at you, and I don't care who it is, the first thing you do is what? Stand up and start defending yourself. And usually, never mind, I won't say it. Usually, you probably did it. Usually, you're probably guilty. But in God's eyes, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you of all your sins, all your unrighteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, John 6:56. Hallelujah. The blood, it says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What is it? The blood provides a witness for the abiding life of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what the blood does. It reminds us. The Bible tells us this, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you ask the Father anything. How can you do that? Because remember what we said. The blood of Jesus Christ gives you an opening into the very presence of God. You can walk right into the throne room of grace. You don't just walk in, you walk in boldly. Father, here I am. Here I am. I have a request. I have a need. God says, yeah, what is it? Why should I answer your need? Because I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed child of yours. Jesus, my Lord, paid the price for my redemption. I have been delivered out of the darkness. The exact right to walk into your presence and ask boldly, 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 boldly. Most of us are down here. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, do something. Please, 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 do something. Please, please, please. Yeah, he's not going to do anything. When you know what the blood does, you'll walk in boldly and you'll declare it. You won't plead for it. You won't beg for it. You'll declare it. Father, you said, ask and I shall receive. I'm asking. I'm asking by the blood of Jesus Christ who puts me in right standing with you. I ask by the blood of Jesus Christ who has washed me of all unrighteousness. It enables me to come into your very presence because you are a holy God and I have become holy by the washing of the blood of the Lamb. But you better be assured of your position. You better know what he's talking about when he's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil isn't going to just sit down and whine and cry. He isn't. He's going to fight you tooth and nail. But if you don't give in and you don't give up and you don't deny, you say the truth. He will flee from you. Every single time. And once you get into that position, pretty soon, he won't even come near you. He'll be afraid of you. And the worst thing that could possibly happen, is you find out where you stand and you start telling other people where they stand. Because the fear is from him that you'll open your mouth and give testimony about the power of the blood of the Lamb. And once you do that, he knows he's losing battles. His fear is that you come to the knowledge of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then his greatest fear is you tell somebody else. If you keep your mouth shut, he doesn't care. He lost one, he'll handle that. But when you start affecting others, that's what he hates. The power of the blood. Transform your life. It'll keep you from evil. It'll bring a peace and a joy and a strength. It'll deliver you out of the darkness and all the evil, wicked things of the heavenlies that come at you. He can deliver you, set you free, and set you up on a rock to stand. And all of a sudden, you start looking down more than a conqueror. Now he flees from you. Now he runs from you. The Bible says that when he tempted Jesus, he said he left him for a more opportune moment. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't quit. He's got a lot of different things under his little fingernail. But see, the things we don't need to have a lot of information. All we need to know is truth. And the truth is, Jesus shed his blood to set you free from the work and the captivity of Satan. He gave you power over all the wiles of the enemy. He delivered you out of that darkness. And now what's the darkness? It's the blindness that you couldn't see what was affecting you around you. You just thought this was normal. This is life down here. We got to be beaten up. We got to be destroyed. We got to be stolen from. All these things. People got to be, you know, all this stuff going on. Well, that's just natural. That's just the way it, no, it isn't. That never was the way God intended it. And it doesn't have to be. We can actually live a life from all fear, from all the temptation of the enemy, changing our lives. Doesn't mean it won't come at you. It doesn't mean the tempter won't keep trying to tempt you. He won't. He'll shoot the fiery darts. But the blood of Jesus Christ is still working today. There's power in it. Search it out. Look it up. Find out exactly how much power is in the shed blood of the Lamb. And that power is available for those who believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We praise you and give you glory. We thank you, Father, we are washed in the blood. We thank you for the grace given to us, Father, and the love that you have poured out into our life. Through your Son, Jesus, Father, how difficult it must have been to watch as your Son was sacrificed on that cross. How that blood was shed, it just poured out of him. But we thank you, Father, the great love you've shown towards us. No greater love is there than a man lay down his life for another. Thank you, Lord. And we declare, Father, we are washed in the blood. And the blood is still working today. The blood that was shed by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We praise you for it and give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.